Shavuach, everybody. Shavuot Tov. This coming week's parasha is, of course, Parashas Vayeshev. And it's called Vayeshev because of the first word of the parasha. Vayeshev Yaakov Be'eretz Nigui Aviv Be'eretz Kinoan. The word Vayeshev is perhaps very incongruous at this particular point. The word Vayeshev connotes a sense of stability, a sense of predictability. He settled down. But the events that unfold in the parasha are anything but settling. The Torah goes on to describe the rift that exists in Yaakov's family, the negative feelings toward Yosef that were engendered by Yaakov's favoring of Yosef over the other brothers, and how this was fueled by what Yosef did, by Yavi Yosef, Bibasam Royal Avihan, and so on, which led to Yosef being sold as a slave to Mitzrayim, and the saga that continues over the next coming parshios. So how come the Torah says Vayeshev? Chazal were, of course, sensitive to this point, and this is perhaps the insight that Rashi quotes. Bikesh Yaakov Leishei B'Shalva. Yaakov wanted to have peace and serenity, tranquility, but Kafas Olav Rogzu Shel Yosef. Hashem had other plans, and this is, of course, one way to understand the Vayeshev, Bikesh Yaakov. But I think there's another insight that we can glean from the words and the commentaries that you find on this pasuk. The Torah deliberately used the word Vayeshev for the following reason. If you notice, at the end of Parshas Vayishlach that we just read yesterday, the Torah mentions the word Vayeshev in connection to Esav. The pasuk says, Vayeshev Esav behar Seir, Esav hu Edom. Esav established himself, he settled in the land of Seir. Goes on to tell us, Ela told us, Esav avi Edom behar Seir. Torah goes on to describe the progeny, the toldos of Esav. So it's interesting how, after the Torah finishes with all about Esav, the Torah shifts back to Yaakov and begins, Vayeshev Yaakov, just as the Torah says, Vayeshev Esav, in Haseir, Vayeshev Yaakov, Be'eretz Miguri Avli, Be'eretz Kinoan, and again, Ela Todos Yaakov. So we have to understand the nature of this parallel, with this contrast of Vayeshev Esav, the Haseir, and the Vayeshev Yaakov, Be'eretz Miguri Avli, Be'eretz Kinoan. Zeh l'umas zeh. The Chizkuni, if you look at your source number 3, the Chizkuni makes this point. Vayeshev Yaakov, Musav, Avayeshev Esav, the Haseir, Lachash Sifer Lecha, Ech Nisyashev Esav, the Haseir, Chazar, because of Yaakov, Yashav, the Eretz Miguri Aviv. Kilo Mishpat HaBechora, because Yaakov deserves the birthright, because he purchased it, and his entitlement was to get the nechasim of his father, and Esav therefore out of the loop, halach lo ki'ish nachri. And we'll see this idea develop more and more as we go along. The Ramban, the very first Ramban in Vayeshev, Tam Vayeshev Yaakov, Be'eretz Miguri Aviv Ki Amar Shalufei Esav Yashu Be'eretz Achuzasam. The chiefs of Esav settled in their land that they took possession of, which is the land of Seir, Shelakhu Lahem Achuzas Olam, is their eternal inheritance. Abu Yaakov Yashav Ger Ki Aviv Be'eretz Lo Lahem Ela Liknan. Notice in the Ramban there's another emphasis. Not just the fact that Yaakov settled in Canaan as opposed to Seir, but the fact that Yaakov settling in Canaan was migure aviv. It was a settling which was in a land that was not his. It was not his yet. Just as his father lived there, migure means not as a resident, but as a ger, as a visitor, as a stranger. And this is where Yaakov was. Now, why is that important? Continues Ramban, the Hakavana, the idea here is lahagid, Kihem bocharim lagor be'eretz hanifcheres. Yaakov and his family chose to be a ger, but to be a ger in the land which is chosen. V'sheniskayim bahem, and it was through them that was fulfilled the pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha that Avraham Avinu was told at Bris Ben Absarim, Yodoa teida ki ger yezaracha be'eretz lo lahem. That before you're going to get Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, your seed, your progeny, are going to be strangers in a land that is not theirs. And we know that that begins, according to the calculation of Chazal, 400 years begins from the birth of Yitzchak, and continues, of course, with Yaakov. Even before Yaakov gets to Mitzrayim, the clock is ticking over the 400 years. So Yaakov is choosing to be in Eretz Canaan, the Eretz Migurei Aviv, as part of the understanding that he's going to be fulfilling that destiny of Kigei Yezaracha, as he, in fact, is that fulfillment of the Nevuah of Avraham Avinu. The Shenizkayim Bohem continues, Rabban Kigei Yezaracha Beretz Golehem V'lo Be'esav, as opposed to with Esav, Kibi Yaakov Levado Yikor Lehem Zera. This is based on what we'll soon see. The Pasuk says in Parshas Vayera, when Yishmael was chased out of the house along with his mother, and Avram feels bad about this, and Hashem tells Avram not to feel bad because Sarah knows best. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki v'Yitzchak yikare l'cha zara. V'Yitzchak, it's going to go through Yitzchak and not Yishmael, but now it goes a step further. V'Yitzchak, and how will that happen? Not through Esav, as we'll soon see, but through Yaakov. So there is a destiny, Kigeya Zaracha, and that's going to go to Yitzchak, not Yishmael, and it's going to continue through Yaakov as opposed to through Esav. So again, we see numerous mefarshim focusing on this Vayeshev Yaakov in contrast to Vayeshev Esav. Rabbeinu Bechaya does the same thing in his own words. He says, Vayeshev, just as we find with Esav, the Vayeshev Esav Bahar Seir, Todos Esav, the kings and the chiefs, Sheyatsu Mimenu, they established themselves in Seir, that's their land. But Yaakov chose to live in the Holy Land, the Eretz Migurei Aviv. So what is the relationship? What does the Torah think about Yaakov's Vayeshev versus Esav's Vayeshev? So Rashi has an interesting comment as well. Rashi doesn't directly speak about the word Vayeshev, but he does make a very interesting point. It says Rashi here, Vayeshev Yaakov, Acha shekasav lecha yishuvei Esav betodosa, b'derach kitzara. After the Torah gave you short thrift about Esav and how he got settled and established in Seir and his progeny, Shelo yisfunim v'chashuvim lefarish hechnis yashvu, the Torah didn't want and wasn't interested in giving us the give and take and the fine details of how Esav established a foothold of possessing HaSeir and that whole land. B'seidim l'chamoseihem, eicho rishu es achorim, and we'll soon see there's a whole history to this. If you were to write a different history book, the Torah doesn't give it to us, you could actually write volumes about how Esav battled those who were living there in Seir before he came there, and how he and his army emerged victorious and took over this land. The Torah doesn't give you that. The Torah gives you just very short details. Rather, Piresh Lecha Yeshuva Yaakov V'Todosa V'Derech Aruka. When it comes to Yaakov and his quote-unquote settling, the Torah goes into very describing details exactly how it happened. Kol Gigulei Sibasam, as we know, the story of Yaakov and his family and Yosef being sold and all of this in order to bring us back to Eretz Yisrael. Finally, after this whole history, the Torah wants us to know the history of Yaakov and his family. Esav, the Torah just gives you the bottom line without getting into the fine details, and the reason is Lefi Sheim Chashuvim Lefnei HaMokom LeHarich Bahem. Because when it comes to Yaakov, it's important. If Yaakov is important, every detail of his history is documented, and the Torah wants you to understand that there's something for us to hear about and to be inspired by. Okay, so if I were to ask you, why does it matter, the title of this year? So Esav inherits HaSeir. Why does it matter? So let's begin to answer our question. I think the first instinct is because Esav doesn't matter, and we matter. That's why it matters to us to know that Esav had his possession of HaSeir, as if to say, okay, that's his, you might say, consolation prize. He doesn't form the destiny of Klal Yisrael, he's excluded. And now we can talk about what really matters, which is our history of Yaakov Avinu. But it's not as simple as what I just said. There's many more insights that we can glean and more psukim we can understand, and we can flesh out this idea further. So let's look at the following description in Parshas Vayishlach. When the Torah tells us about Esav relocating and leaving Eretz Canaan, because that's where he was before he moved to Seir. Let's look at how the Torah describes it, how the Mefarshim explain it. This is source number 7. Vayikach Esav es nashav. Esav took his wives, es banav, ves benosav, his sons and daughters, ves konafshos beso, all his family, the ganze mishpacha, ves mikneu, ves kol behemto, and his cattle and animals, and everything he had acquired in Eretz Canaan. Vayelech el Eretz v'pnei Yaakov achiv. And he went to a land, another land, because of Yaakov, his brother. Those three words need to be understood. Mipnei Yaakov achiv. And the pasuk continues next pasuk. Ki hayu rechusham rav mishevas yachdav. The assets of the two of them were too much that they could dwell together. V'lo yach eretz migurehem. Lase yisosam mipnei mikneihem. And the land could not contain the two of them because of all the cattle that they all had. So says Rashi, the simple pshat is lo yacha eretz migurehem lahaspik mireh lebehemos shelahem. There was not enough pasture for the two of them. It's reminiscent, perhaps, of what we know where this kind of with Lod and Avram, where again the pasture wasn't enough, at least the way the Torah seems to describe it. Says Rashi, there's a medrash here that gives us a different perspective. A medrash agada, going back to the words mipnei Yaakov achiv, meaning mipnei starchov, because of that debt. There was an obligation that would be imposed on the progeny of Avram. Avram is told, your progeny, your zera, will be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. Hamutal al zera shel Yitzchak, that now that Avram is told, your zera, now it's going to have to play out in terms of who continues to be the zera of Avram through Yitzchak. So zera shel Yitzchak has to pay that price, so to speak. Amar, so Esav said the following, Eilech li mikan, I'm going to leave here. I don't want any part of this. Ein li chelek, I want no portion lo b'matana shenitna lo haaretz hazos, not in the gift of the land, v'lo b'piron hashtar, nor in having to pay the debt that comes with it. It's a package here. You can have Eretz Yisrael, but in order to get Eretz Yisrael, it has to start out as Ger Yazarecha. So Esav says, forget it. I'd rather not have any part of anything, and therefore he relocates and leaves it all for his brother. In other words, this decision by Esav is a declaration of opting out. Esav is hereby saying, I'm renouncing my stake in the promised land, in everything that comes with it, in the price that comes with it. I don't want any of it. I'll leave that for Yaakov. I'll go to Seir. The Ramban, in his own way, makes the same point. The Ramban, source number 9, first comments as far as when this took place. When did Esav actually move? So the Ramban says this is after Yaakov returns back to Eretz Canaan. And perhaps, says the Ramban, it could have even waited till after Yitzchak died, which if you make the cheshbon that Rashi does actually on the pasuk that talks about Yitzchak living to 180, it actually means that would mean 12 years after the sale of Yosef, because Rashi makes the cheshbon that 180 years to Yitzchak would have meant 120 years to Yaakov. Yitzchak was 60 when Yaakov was born, and Yaakov was 108 when Yosef is sold. So it's actually 12 years later. So according to this suggestion of the Ramban, it would mean that Esav is still around when Yosef is sold. Interesting. Either way, the Ramban continues, and he explains. He says, "Ha'inyan." You see, if you look at the beginning of Vayishlach, it sounds like Esav already lived in Seir. After all, where did Yaakov send his messengers to Esav? Arza Seir. So how come it says in the pasuk only at the end of the parasha that Esav is moving to Seir? Where did he live before? So the Ramban explains as follows. Originally, Esav went to Seir, not with his whole family. He went there with his entourage of 400 men. His children, his family were still in Canaan. Perhaps he had a piece of land that he bought, some real estate there in the plain of Seir, but not in Har Seir. And therefore, the message was sent from Yaakov to Arza Seir, which is where Esav already had a piece of land. But then, after Yaakov returns to Canaan, then Pinalo Mipana, then Esav clears away. Says Ramban, this is the point that I want to emphasize, Ki Yada, She'eretz Canaan nachras achiv. Because Esav recognized that Eretz Canaan is the inheritance of Yaakov. Asher nasan lo aviv bibirchaso. And here we're going to go back soon to Parshas Toldos. Esav knew that this is the land that Yaakov was promised by Yitzchak. And therefore, Esav takes everybody with him, and he goes to Seir to settle, and then comes the various wars that we'll get into soon, and so on, in terms of getting Har Seir, that was subsequent to his moving everybody to Seir, and then he battled for Har Seir, which was a fortress, as Ramban goes on to say. So again, we see that there's this idea of Esav being excluded from the line, from the lineage of Avram. We have the idea that Esav comes to terms with that. Esav recognizes how he is excluded, and he formally renounces his stake and his rights to it by moving to Seir. The idea that Esav is excluded is, as I alluded to before, the pasuk says, "Ki b'Yitzchak yikaru l'chazara." Now that pasuk speaks about Yitzchak over Yishmael. But there's another derivation that lies in that pasuk. The Gemara in the Darim, based on the comments of the Mishnah, source number 10, if somebody takes a neder that he's not going to give hana or get hana from Zera Avram, from what's called Zera Avram, Aser b'Yisrael mutar bov dekochavim. So that means anyone who's not Jewish doesn't go into that neder. In fact, the Gemara, what about Yishmael? Yishmael is Zera Avram, and Yishmael isn't Jewish. Anyone who comes from Yishmael is certainly not Jewish. Says the Gemara, that doesn't count because ki b'Yitzchak kar chazara ksiv. Yitzchak is the line of Avram, and Zera Avram would exclude Yishmael. In fact, the Gemara, v'ika Esav. What about Esav? So why couldn't anyone that comes from Esav be included in the neder? Answers the Gemara, it says b'Yitzchak. The prefix beis implies not all of Yitzchak. B'Yitzchak below Ko Yitzchak, which means only one part of Yitzchak, Yaakov, and not Esav. So what do we have here? Esav comes to terms with this idea, and that goes together with Esav taking the possession of Har Seir. Let's understand Pashup Shat now in a Pasuk in Yehoshua that we all know, not from necessarily learning Yehoshua, but from the Pesach Seder. There is a paragraph in the Haggadah that begins with the words Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Aviseinu, that originally our forefathers were worshipping idols and Hashem brought us close. And in that paragraph we quote a series of psukim from Sefer Yehoshua. Here you have it on Suras number 11, Perek Chavdalad in Yehoshua. Vayom Yehoshua al Kol Ha'am. So Yeshua told the people, Kol Amar Hashem Elkei Yisrael, so said Hashem. From way back, your fathers were dwelling in Avraham, the other side of the river, Terach, Avi Avram, Babi Nocha, Vayavdu L'machei, and they worshipped idols. What happened next? Va'ekach, Es Avichem, Es Avraham, Me'Avraham, I took your father Avram from across the river. I led him through Canaan. We're thinking now of Parshas what? Parshas Lech Lecha. I gave him many, many children. So the many children would mean the many descendants of Yishmael, but then I gave him Yitzchak, which suggests, of course, that Yitzchak is the continuity of Avram and not Yishmael. The pasuk continues. Yitzchak has two children. Again, who's going to continue the line of Avram? And here's how the pasuk concludes. And you can really appreciate now the message of this pasuk. Va'etem le'Esav es Har Seir. And I gave Esav Har Seir l'Reshes also, to inherit it. Yaakov uvanav yardu mitzrayim. Now, I ask you, what is the connection here to mention Esav taking Har Seir as part of the flow of the psukim? You're talking about Hashem choosing Avram over Terach, and Hashem choosing Yitzchak over Yishmael. And now we go on and we say, Yitzchak has two sons, and now, what does it tell us? Esav gets Har Seir, and Yaakov goes to Mitzrayim. What is the point of the pasuk? So the Mefarshim make this point very clearly. For example, Mitzvah's David on the spot explains, what's Esav getting Har Seir to do with anything here? I gave Esav his share of Har Seir. Shelo yishtabi b'Mitzrayim. He will not pay that shtar chov. He will not have to go down to Mitzrayim, because to do that would suggest that he would be entitled to that title of Zera Yitzchak. He would be the continuity. But no, Kigeya Zaracha doesn't mean Esav. So he gets Haseir, that's putting him sort of out of the loop of being Zera Avram. He's not part Kigeya Zaracha. And Yaakov, who is the true Zera of Avram, Ki Bi Yitzchak, meaning Yaakov over Esav, And therefore, for him, he has no choice but to go down to Mitzrayim. And this is the point that other Rishonim say, actually. The Rashbat, the Tashbetz, explains Pshat in this Pasuk on Haggadah. Be Yitzchak v'lo ko Yitzchak. The Eten Yisrael is Harseir. Like the Pasuk says, Vayelech el Eretz mipnei Yaakov achiv. He goes off because of Yaakov, Shelo Ratsa. L'kabel avus v'inui. Kimosha kibel Yaakov. He did not want to assume that responsibility and that price and to have to have himself and his children become oppressed the Eretz Lohan as Yaakov did, but Yeshiv Yaakov Eretz Meguri Aviv. So in this parsha that we begin to read next Shabbos, we have, you might say, the last hurrah for Esav, who just went off to Har Seir to take possession, and this is his opting out. And Yaakov recognizes that his destiny has to do with how events will unfold as we go forward. And you read in the Al-Shech here a similar point in the Psukim in Yehoshua. I believe that this idea is it alluded to in a Rashi in the beginning of Vayeshev as well. Rashi is bothered by a question that many Mepharshim ask. Eila Todos Yaakov. The next Pasuk in Vayeshev. Eila Todos Yaakov. So you expect the Torah to tell you the progeny of Yaakov. Meanwhile, what does the Torah say? Yosef is 17 years old, and this is what happened between him and his brothers, and they're jealous of him, and they hate him, and then the whole story, the Ksonis Pasim, like, why is that Eila Todos Yaakov? How does that relate to the beginning of the Pasuk? So many Mepharshim try to answer this in different ways, but Rashi says something that he feels is the Pshuto Shel Mikra. Rashi says, Eila Todos Yaakov, Eila Yishuvehem VeGilgulehem Ad Shebo L'chlau Yishuv. Rashi is saying is that the Eila Todos Yaakov is going back to Vayeshev Yaakov. In other words, what is it going to take for Yaakov's Vayeshev to be fulfilled? And the answer is, it starts with Yosef, who's Yaakov's son, and all that happened. And all of this is in order to give us a heads up that what's happening here, what we're about to tell you about the story, is all going to tie back to Vayeshev Yaakov. So we ask the question at the outset, how is this for Yeshiv Yaakov? Yaakov is settling down. Look at what's happening here. It's a rift in the family. It's very troubling. It's not settling down at all. And Rashi says, it's all to get back to Vayeshev. The Vayeshev Yaakov is all going to be fulfilled. He's going to have his settling of Eretz Yisrael only after everything that's going to unfold. And once it all plays out, we get back to the Vayeshev Yaakov. Which really indicates that striking contrast between Esav's path and Yaakov's path. Esav's path is one that you might say is very predictable, very clear, but at the end of the day, it's really not going to bring him the ultimate benefit that Hashem really promised us. Esav gets Har Seir, it's a nice life, he accumulates tremendous respect and power, and all his alufei Esav that we read about, but really, in the long run, it's not the promised land. Yaakov, on the other hand, it's not easy. It's a circuitous route, it zigzags. You have all this trouble and the fighting and the infighting and the selling of Yosef, but ultimately it brings us back to Vayeshev Yaakov. There's a famous medrash that talks about a child that's on the fork of a road, a child in Yerushalayim, and someone approaches to the fork of the road and says, which way should I go to the city? And the child says, well, this road is a derech arukah shehi ketzara. It's a road which is long, but it's short. The other one is a derech ketzara. It's a short road shehi arukah, which is really long. So he says, well, I might as well go by the derech ketzara, right? It's a short road. So he starts walking. Next thing you know, he seems to be exactly where he needs to be, but there's this fence, and it blocks him from getting over to where the city is. So he comes back to the child, says, I understand. You said it was a derech ketzara. He says, no, it's a derech ketzara shehi arukah. Now you're not going to be able to get over the fence unless you figure out some strategy. So he goes by the other road. Takes a little longer. And eventually he finds his way to the city, but he gets right there. So I think it's a muscle for life. Many times in life, you think that you take the quick and easy route and you'll find the gold, the pot of gold, but really, it's not as simple. Then you get stuck with other stuff. You're not really where you need to be. Other times, a lot of more frustration, a lot more sweat, But ultimately, you get where you need to go. So I think this is perhaps one very important takeaway message. To Yaakov, it's a derech, arukah she'ikat tzara. Ultimately, we want Eretz Yisrael. True, there was a price that had to be paid. It's well worth it. Esav was seemingly happy, but it really is not the ultimate destiny. Let's look back at what gave Esav the entitlement to say. Where did it come from? We have the pasuk that we just read in Yehoshua, but there's more to it. We know that Yitzchak already in Parshas Toldos blesses Yaakov. He blesses Yaakov twice. First, thinking that it's Esav. That's when he tells him, V'yitin chohelokim, itala shemayim, mushmanei haaretz. At the end of the parasha, where he knows he's speaking to Yaakov, and he's sending Yaakov away to the house of Lavan, he tells Yaakov, knowing it's Yaakov, V'yitin lecha espirkas, Avraham lecha, lezarecha itach, levishtecha es eretz migurecha, you are going to take the promised land. If you look at the end of the parasha, so it's very explicit that Yitzchak is giving Yaakov eretz Canaan. It's interesting that the Rambam, in source 17, uses that pasuk as the basis for excluding Esav from being viewed as Zera Avram. We noted before that the Gemara seems to use the pasuk of, what was the pasuk we mentioned? Ki b'yitzchak v'lo kol yitzchak. The Rambam uses the pasuk ki b'yitzchak to exclude Yishmael. Says the Rambam in source 17, the mitzvah of milah is only for Avram and his progeny, but not Yishmael, because of Kibi Yitzchak, the lo Yikar Chazara, and not Esav, says the Rambam. Now we would expect the Rambam to say, because Bi Yitzchak, the lo Kol Yitzchak, but the Rambam quotes a different pasuk, or a different source. Not Esav, Sha'arei Yitzchak Amar Yaakov, V'yitin l'chaz birkas Avraham l'chol zaracha mechlal, Shehu levado zaro shel Avraham, that only you are considered the progeny of Avraham, Hamachzik b'daso u'b'darko hayishara, because you are the one who are following in his belief, in his monotheism, in his midos tovos, v'alachta b'drachav, in his path, his middle path, the derech hayishara, that's Avram's path. You are the one that represents the continuity of Avram. And that's what Yitzchak is telling Yaakov at the time that he sends him away. Rav Chaim is known to have explained this Rambam as follows. How come the Rambam quotes a different source than what the Gemara says? The Gemara says, Ki bi Yitzchak, the lo kol Yitzchak. The Rambam brings you the pasuk in the end of Toldos. It's also the Rambam in Hilchos Nedarim as well, as you look at the next source. Rav Chaim says, because you see, bi Yitzchak, does it tell you who it is? It's bi Yitzchak. Not all Yitzchak. One part of Yitzchak. Okay, Yitzchak has two sons. So it could be Yaakov over Esav, it could be Esav over Yaakov. Who's to know? What makes the determination that it's going to be Yaakov? So that's where the Rambam steps in and teaches the drasha. He says, you see, Yitzchak affirms to Yaakov, you are the chosen one. You are the one that's going to get the Birkas Avraham, you're going to get the promised land, because you are the one that's continuing in the path of Avraham, and Esav is clearly not in that path. And this is why the B'Yitzchak gets expressed and manifests itself through Yaakov and not through Esav. This is what Rav Chaim wanted to explain. In the pasuk that discusses Esav leaving Eretz Canaan, the pasuk seems to say that it was not enough for the land to contain them. That's the literal meaning of the word. V'lo yocha Eretz migurehem las Esosa. The Ramban comments on that where they were living, in Hebron, where Avraham Yitzchak lived, there just wasn't enough feeling for everybody to be there. And therefore he decides to leave Eretz Yisrael. Let's understand that on a deeper level. What does it mean that Eretz Canaan could not contain the two of them, or the city of Hebron couldn't contain the two of them? So remember that Yitzchak gave Yaakov the bracha at the end of the parasha. Yitzchak also gave Yaakov the bracha earlier, thinking it was Esav. The Ramban learns, not like many of the other Mefarshim, that Yitzchak already wanted to give the bracha to Esav of Eretz Canaan. The Yitin Chai Elokim for Yitzchak would have meant the promised land. This is what the Ramban writes in Source 20. I know many Mefarshim like to say differently, but the Ramban says, Haya b'dayto levarech oso sheyizkehu bebirkas Avram limchol es ha'aretz. When Yitzchak wanted to bless Esav, he thought that Esav, being the Bechor, would be the one that would be inheriting the land of Canaan as the Baal HaBris, as the one who would have the covenant of Zerah Avram, because he's the Bechor. What did Yitzchak say? He said, V'yitan l'cho ha'elokim, mital ha'shamayim u'mishmanei ha'aretz. Then Esav comes in afterwards, and Yitzchak realized he was duped, right? Who took the bracha? It was your brother, Ba'achicha b'mirma. Esav breaks down, cries, you have one bracha left for me, father? And he begs Yitzchak to say something. So what does Yitzchak say to Esav, knowing now it's Esav, and he already gave the bracha to Yaakov? He says, he named Ishmane ha'aretz yeh moshavecha, u'mital ha'shamayim me'ol. Now, at first glance, that sounds familiar, right? V'yitan ha'elkin, mital ha'shamayim mishmane ha'aretz. Now he tells Esav, mishmane ha'aretz yeh moshavecha shamayim me'ol. So what exactly differs in what he's telling Esav than what he already told Yaakov? So the Rabban has a couple of points here in source 22. He says, look, I can give you both mishmane ha'aretz, tal ha'shamayim, there's enough of that for both of you. As far as the memshalah, that you can't have, I already gave it to Yaakov. V'esachicha tavod, you have to serve him. And then the Rabban concludes, and he says, afterwards, when Yitzchak speaks to Yaakov, knowing he's Yaakov, he says, V'yitan chas birkas Avraham, l'rishtacha yaseth miguracha, meaning, the rov dagan v'sirosh is going to be in Eretz Kanan. That's what I gave Yaakov, and he's going to get it in Kanan. And Yitzchak makes it very clear, Esav, you have Tal HaShemayim, you have Mishmane HaAretz, but not in Canaan. You have it in another land. And this is again the precursor, perhaps, of Esav having the right and the privilege of getting the land of Seir. It's already coming from Yitzchak's blessing of Mishmane HaAretz, Mital HaShemayim, not in Eretz Yisrael, but in a different land, the Eretz Acheretz. What is the difference between the Tal HaShemayim of Yaakov and the Tal HaShemayim of Esav? Yaakov's Tal HaShemayim is in Eretz Canaan, and Esav's Tal HaShemayim will ultimately have to be in a different land. So the Rabban points out that Hashem is giving the land, the Tal HaShemayim, to Yaakov. V'yitin l'cho ha'elokim. Now with Esav, it doesn't say Hashem is giving it. It says, mital HaShemayim, Yiyah Moshevecha. You will have the Tal HaShemayim. What's missing? Hashem's name. And the Ramban says when Hashem gives, he gives the Ayin Yafeh, he gives graciously, there's no end to it, it continues forever, and it has the quality of what the Ramban calls Shmeinahi B'chol HaRatzos, it is the fattiest of lands, Tzvihi B'chol HaRatzos, it is the desirable land. There's a certain quality of Eretz Yisrael that's connected to Hashem giving the land, and that connects to another point of the Ramban. If you look ahead to source 25, the Ramban discusses why Avram got several promises of Eretz Yisrael, and what's added each time. At the end of Lech Lecha, by the Bris Milah, Hashem again mentions that Avram gets Eretz Canaan, and in that connection, it says, I will be for you a God. It says, V'yisirachem lehem legokim. Says the Ramban, it's an idea the Ramban develops in other places more. Shehu bechvodo yanig osam v'loyil b'mamsheles kochav u'mazel. That means that there's a direct connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that comes with being in Eretz Yisrael. This is what Rabbeinu Bechaya points out in Source 24. The fact that V'yitan l'cho ha'elokim is mentioned with Yaakov's bracha is because Yaakov's bracha is not derech the kochavim, the mazalos, it's directly HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Esav is mishmane ha'aretz yeh moshavecha. You have it, but not with that direct connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbeinu Bechaya also in Source 26 talks about how Eretz Yisrael is the basis of bracha, the rest of the world. The shefa, the flow, the bracha of the rest of the world comes through Eretz Yisrael because that's the direct link to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now there's another interesting aspect of this, and that is the title that we say in our benching about Eretz Yisrael being an Eretz Tova Urechava. Think about the second bracha of benching, which is about Al Ha'aretz Ve'al Hamazel. Eretz Chemda Tova Urechava. Where does the expression Rechava come from? From the pasuk by the Sneh, Parsha Shemos. Hashem says, I'm going to take them to a land Zavos Chavad Vash, El Eretz Tova Urechava. This is the pasuk in Source 27 that you have here. Eretz Tova Urechava, says the Ramban, means that there's enough room for everybody. So Yamdu Kol Yisrael Bamerchav. You could have literally Nefesh B'Nefesh working 24/7 to bring every last Jew to Eretz Yisrael, and believe it or not, there'll be enough room and it won't feel like it's overdeveloped. There's always more to develop. There's room for everybody. That's the unique status of Eretz Yisrael. This idea is echoed in the Gemara, in Gittin, in other places too, by the title Eretz Tzvi. The Gemara points out that by a deer, so the skin, in or machzik es besaro, somehow you would think that the skin of the deer would not be able to cover it completely, but it does. Eretz Yisrael has a similar quality. When everybody is there, somehow it expands. And there's enough for everybody. And somehow, if we're not all there, then it seems to shrink. But somehow when it needs to expand for us, it expands for us. So I was thinking, this may be very interesting in terms of the idea that the Torah emphasizes in Vayishlach, that Esav leaves Eretz Seir, or leaves Eretz Canaan for Seir, with the knowledge, with the awareness, that he's conceding Eretz Canaan and the promised land and everything that associated with it to Yaakov. But the Torah gives us the Pshuto Sumitra. What's the reason the Torah says that Esav leaves? Because it was not enough pasture, and it wasn't enough to contain them, the city of Chevron, the whole area, and therefore he leaves. What did Esav recognize, consciously or unconsciously? He recognized that Eretz Yisrael is not a fit for him, because Eretz Yisrael is only a fit for someone who has that bracha of Eretz Yisrael from the perspective of Yitan Chah Elokim, Yital Shemayim, who has the promise of Eretz Yisrael as an Eretz Tova Urachava, which means that there's always enough room. And Esav perceived that there isn't enough room, which is to him indicative, again, consciously or subconsciously, of the fact that this is not for him, and he decides, I'll leave it for Yaakov, I go to Seir. So this is, again, part of what we've been developing, the idea that Esav came to terms with his being excluded from being viewed as the continuation of Zera Avram. Now I'm going to take this in a different direction, an interesting twist on everything we've said so far. Because what we do find, in a very ironic way, is that although Esav could not merit Eretz Yisrael, it didn't match his spiritual essence, as we're saying. But that possession of Har Seir, that, as we noted, came from Yitzchak saying to him, Mishmani Artiya Moshe Becha, in some other land you're going to have the fat of the land. That land of Seir was in some strange way gifted to Esav by divine design. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Esav to have that land, at least in terms of the short term, which means Olam Hazeh. Until Mashiach's time, this is for Esav. We noted the pasuk in Yehoshua, "Va'etein le'Esav es har seir l'reshes osel." This expression say, "I gave this land to Esav as an inheritance." That expression in Yehoshua is not invented. That is actually patterned after Sukkim in Sefer Devarim, Parshas Devarim. Take a look with me, the continuation of the source sheet, source 30. You see a whole series of Sukkim here. This is all Moshe Rabbeinu describing how Klal Yisrael are finding themselves at the verge of Eretz Canaan, and they had to make certain detours as they came close to Eretz Canaan. We know that they conquered the land of Sichon and Og, but there was land that they could not conquer, and they were warned that they're not to start a war and not to expand their borders, so to speak, and conquer the land. Which lands were they warned not to take over? Three specific lands. The lands belonging to Esav, the land of Seir, the land belonging to Ammon, and the land belonging to Moab. These are three lands that Bnei Yisrael were told, do not provoke, do not start a war, be careful, and they had to circle around. Actually, you know, in Parshas Vayishlach, in Parshas Chukas, I should say, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah is telling us the actual story, they sent a message to the king of Edom, can we pass through your land? because we're not going to take it over, we just want to pass through. They couldn't take it over. And Edom says, no, absolutely not, they have to circle around, because again, they had no right to take the land. There's a number of things I want you to notice in the Psukim here that are amazing in terms of what we can glean. Just to notice, there's a lot of Psukim to read, but just to take a quick glance at it. So beginning with Seir, Hashem says, you're going to circle around Seir. Hashem says, okay, remember, you're passing around Seir, Atem Ovrim, Bigvul, and look how the people of Seir are referred to. Bigvul what? Bigvul Acheichem B'nei Esav. Now that should pose quite a quandary for us, especially in light of what we've been discussing. Why in the world are we referring to B'nei Esav as Acheichem? If after all, Esav has long been excluded from that whole lineage, Esav is not connected anymore to Avram, to Yitzchak, why are we referring to, of all places here, to Esav, B'nai Esav, as Acheichem B'nai Esav? That's question number one. So the pasuk continues, V'yiru mikem, you should be afraid of them, V'nishmarta ma'od, Al tizgaruvam, don't wage war, I'm not giving you any piece of their land. Why? And here is the basis for the language of the pasuk in Yehoshua. Pasuk says, "Ki Yerusha le'Esav nasati es Haseir." I've given Haseir to Esav as a Yerusha. Think again of the pasuk that we saw in Yehoshua, right? The Eten le'Esav es Haseir. What did it say in Yehoshua? La'resh es Oso. That's based on the language here. Ki Yerusha le'Esav nasati es Haseir. So the pasuk goes on. Next pasuk, Vanavor. So we pass by. We go around, me'es, who? Acheinu b'nei Esav. Once again, b'nei Esav, referred to as Acheinu. And then we go on from Esav to b'nei Lot. Lot, as we know, had two children from the daughters after the destruction of Sodom. One was Amon, one was Moab. And they got their lands. And the Torah tells us, when it comes to those lands as well, when it comes to Moab, I'm not giving you any of that land. Why? This land is for B'nai Lot. There were some people that lived there before. And here we get some more history that Torah is just alluding to very briefly. But the Torah says, Hashem destroyed those earlier inhabitants and Hashem gave this land to Moab. And we find the Torah goes back now to Seir with the history of how Esav took over Seir. And here another interesting pasuk that we'll soon be able to glean tremendous insight from. Uve Seir, pasuk Yudbeis, Uve Seir, Yashua HaChorim lefanim. Who lived in Seir before Esav took it over? The Chori, we know from in the Vayishlach. Uvnei Esav Yirashum. The children of Esav, they took it over. Vayashmidum mipneihem. They destroyed the earlier inhabitants. Vayeshvu tachtam. And they took over in their place. Listen to how the pasuk concludes. Kasher asa Yisrael le'eretz Yerushaso. Just as Klal Yisrael has done to its land of its inheritance, asher nasan Hashem lehem. What the Torah seems to be doing here, if it wasn't the pasuk saying it, I wouldn't say it. In Moi Mikro Kasu v'yefshe la'omro. But I'm reading the pasuk and we'll soon see the Ramban's words on this. The Torah is equating the fact that we have our God-given land, and therefore no one can mess with it, because Hashem gave that land to us. In the same way that Hashem gave the land that He gave to us as our unique inheritance and heritage, so it is with what? With Seir that was given to Esav. Esav took over Seir with miracles. The wars that he waged, that the Torah never really gives us the details about, because Hashem wanted Esav to take over that land, and he was successful and victorious. Hashem wanted that to be his, in the same way that Hashem wants your land to be yours. And then we get from there to Amon as well, and again, the pasuk brings back Esav's history, pasuk Chavdeis, Kasher Asar, Levnei Esav, Hayoshin B'Seir. Again, Hashem destroyed the Chori in the face of Esav, and they took their place. So let's understand a couple of things. What does all this mean? What is this equation between Esav getting his land and we're getting our land? Why is it Acheichem b'nei Esav? The question is already asked by the Ramban, and he suggests an answer, which we can we don't have now time to delve into, but the Ramban is barred by the question, Achechem b'nei Esav. He said, well, they're all circumcised. Again, hard to know what to make of this. Does Esav really have the status of a Yisrael? Does he keep Mila? Not clear. But notice, also in Parshas Chukas, when Moshe sends messengers to Melech Edom, he says, Kol amar achicha Yisrael. You know our history. You know our forefathers went to Mitzrayim. And we know we were in Mitzrayim and we cried out and Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. We want to pass through your land. Rashi points out, why does it mention achicha Yisrael here? So Rashi brings in the very history that we saw before. Well, we were all brothers. Once upon a time, we were all potentially going to be the legacy of Avram, but we both would have had the obligation to pay the price of going to Mitzrayim, but we ended up doing it, and your father separated himself. Atayadata, you know, we went through the difficult experience of Egypt. You had it easy. You were in Seir. Your father separated. He went to Seir, and we had to pay the price. So Rashi says that's why they mention Achicha Yisrael. Let's take it to another level. And I think it all comes back to the following comments of Rashi on the Pasuk in Devarim, and we'll soon see in Parshas Lech Lecha. Hashem gave Esav Harseir as a Yerusha. What does it mean? It's a Yerusha. We'll see soon in the Ramban. Yerusha sounds like it's there for generations. It's Esav and his children. Well, back to Bris Ben Absarim, everybody. How many nations are enumerated in Bris Ben Absarim? How many nations? Not seven. Ten nations. If you look at the Pasuk in Source 35, the covenant, the Bris Ben Absarim, that Hashem said, I've given you, how many lands are mentioned? Ten. The first three are three that we're not so familiar with. Keni, Knezi, and Kadmoni. And then come seven more, which we more or less can line up to the seven we're familiar with. Chiti, Prizi, Rephaim. Rephaim is interchangeable with Chivi, as Mepharshim point out. And then Amori, Knani, Gigashi, Yibusi. So we have the seven that we all know about, but we have three additional names that we're not so familiar with. Keni, Knezi, Kadmoni. And that's what Hashem tells Avram is given to your children. So who are Keni, Knezi, Kadmoni? So Rashi says, back in Source 34, what's the pshat in the pasuk? Yerusha le'esav. What's his Yerusha? Where's it coming from? Where does it stem from? Says Rashi, the Yerusha to Esav is stemming from the very place that your seven nations stem from. Because there were ten nations mentioned in Bris Ben Absarim, Keni, Knezi, Kadmoni. So what are those three nations? Who do they correspond to? So this is one opinion in Chazal Rashi is going with. They are Ammon, Moab, and Seir. Wow, Keni. Now you have to know how to line them up, okay? Keni, Knezi, Kadmoni correspond to Ammon, Moab, and Seir. One of the three is Esav. He gets the land by virtue of what? Of his connection to who? To Avram. The other two are Livnei Lot, which two? Ammon and Moab. And they get it also by virtue of their connection to Avram, because Lot is a nephew of Avram. And Rashi concludes with that as well by saying, why did he get it? Lot had a schar. Doesn't tell us what Esav's schar was, but Lot had a schar because he didn't squeal in Mitzrayim about the fact that Sarai was in fact the wife of Avram. And therefore, says Rashi, Asa'o kibino. Lot took on the status of a son, so to speak, because of this schus he had. So therefore, Lot is viewed as a son, so his children, Ammon and Moab, get their share from Bris Ben Absarim. And so does Esav, because he's a grandson. And therefore, we have this idea that the Bris Ben Absarim is actually gifting three lands to Zerah Avram other than Kal Yisrael. There will be a time when that will change, and we'll soon get to that. Rashi himself says, there are ten nations here, there's going to be a time that Kal Yisrael are going to ultimately inherit those three lands as well, but not for a while. How do these three lands line up? So here you have the Chizkuni suggesting that Keni is Ammon, Kenizi is Moab, and Kadmoni is Edom, because Amalek came from him, who is Kadmoni, the first one to fight against Kal Yisrael. There are other opinions perhaps that line them up differently, Either way, one of these three, Keni, Kinis, Kadmoni, is Seir, the other two are Amon and Moav. I think we have something fascinating here to play with. This is the Ramban that I alluded to before when I mentioned the language of the Pasuk. Hashem says, just as Klal Yisrael have their land, Kasha Asa Yisrael Eretz Yerushaso, so does Esav have his land. There's an incredible language in the Ramban, hard to read everything, but just the bold part. The Ramban says there in Source 38, Varim on the Psukim there, that Bavur Sh'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Atatar Es Moav, don't oppress Moab, I've given it to Bnei Lot, says the Pasuk, the land was worthy of being given to Zerah Avram, except it was given to Lot. And he says, Hashem did a miracle for the Bnei Lot, that they inherited this land from the people, the Amim who were there before, the very awesome people that Hashem let Bnei Lot overcome and defeat. It was all Lechbod Avram. And says the Ramban, the Ein Ro'oi Rigzol Mehem Ha'aretz Hashenasin Hashem Lehem B'masanes. Hashem did a miracle to let Bnei Lo take over this land. It means Hashem wants them to have that land. And that's why the Pasuk continues with B'seir Yashua Chorim Lefanim, that so it was with Esav, Yomar, Ki Bavua Tamazeh, for the same reason that was mentioned for Moab, Yim Ne'em Gamkein Me'eretz Seir. They are also restricted from taking the land of Seir, because there as well, there was a Chori who were there. How did Esav take it? Hashem made it happen. Hashem gifted it to Esav, Vehimi Matnas Avraham. And that's part of the gift. And that's where the Ramban continues, go down a few lines to the bold part. Amar, Ki Achorim, who were before the Esav came in, and Bnei Esav, who were Bnei Esav? Zer Avraham. And they took over the land, B'masa Nes. Miraculous stuff that Esav took over. Who would have guessed that Esav would win that land? Shahayu Haim Amrav the Artsam, and Esav came along to visit, to buy a plot of land. Next thing you know, Esav asserts himself, and he has an army, and he begins to wage war. The Nischazik Aleihem, in the same way that Klal Yisrael conquered Eretz Shivas Amimim, so did Esav conquer Eretz Seir. Tasha Asa Yisrael, the Yeser Hagoyim, Asher Avram, Asher Nasam, the other seven nations, Vinei Hinchil Hashem, Kol Ha'amim, Ha'em, Zerah Shel Avram. So all ten nations go to Zerah Avram. Echad Esav, and the rest for Klal Yisrael, Gen Amon Moav, and Klal Yisrael. Ki Hashem Yiktsof, and this again, language is very, very strong. Hashem Yiktsof, Al Hagoza Mehem Nachal Hashem Chim, Hu Yisbarach. Hashem will be angry at those who take away their divine inheritance, as he'll be angry against somebody who tries to take away our inheritance that he's going to give us. The Ramban, in his Hasagos to Sefer HaMitzvos, where the Rambam counted Tariag Mitzvos, and the Ramban disagrees and quibbles what should count and what should not count, the Ramban mentions as one of the lavim that the Rambam omitted, a lav that exists for generations, for history, the lav of Al-Tatsar as Moav, and so on with Ammon, and so on with Seir. Ramban develops the idea that this is not just a one-time thing for the period then in Klal Yisrael's history as they were entering Eretz Yisrael. This is for generations. He has to work out how we find in Tanakh that there were wars against Edom and against Ammon and Moab, and he explains it. But there is a lav l'doros to fight against this land. And then the question becomes, what happens in the future? But I think we can understand very well why the Torah uses the term Achenu. Because the irony is that on the one hand, Esav is excluded from Eretz Yisrael. But in one respect, Esav remains an heir to the legacy of Avraham. In one respect only. Namely, in terms of those lands that Hashem wants Esav to have for the short term, for this world, for the period of Olam Hazeh, that is Esav's one stake as being Zer Avraham. And therefore, specifically when Klal Yisrael are talking to Melch Edom and telling him, we have to pass through, we can't take over your land. And they're reminding him about what happened when Esav left. But they're also acknowledging the fact that Esav is a brother, because in terms of his rights to Seir, he is a brother. And so it is in the Psukim and Devarim, Acheichem b'nei Esav, because specifically in this context, and in this context alone, Esav has the affiliation and the lineage of Avram. And therefore the Torah uses the language Achenu, because it's for this alone that Esav has that right to be viewed as Zer Avram, and therefore we are brothers. What's going to change in the last 3-4 minutes that we're going to share with each other for the share, what's going to change in the future is we have to have schusim. We have to have merit. Why is it that Hashem ultimately will give us this land? And that's what Rashi alluded to that we had before in the Rashi. And the psukim that Rashi alluded to, and Rashi quotes, Pasuk in Yeshaya, Edom u'Moab mishruach yadam u'vnei Amon mishmatam. We're going to get Amon, we're going to get Moab, and we're going to get Esav. What's going to change? To get Eretz Yisrael, we need merit. Right now in this world, our merit only allows us to get 7 nations. Halvai, we should have that and feel comfortable with the rights that we have to that. But that was clearly already there for us. Had we not sinned with the Meraglim, apparently we would have had it then. Look at the Rashi in Source 45. When Moshe says, go into Eretz Yisrael before the Chet HaMeraglim, before he gets to describe Chet HaMeraglim, he says, go into Eretz Yisrael, Har HaEmor, Ve'el Ko Shechenav, and go to all its neighbors. Says Rashi, who are the neighbors? Ammon, Moab, and Harseir. Says the Gra, that means that had there not been a Chet HaMeraglim, we would have had those 10 nations immediately. Once Chet HaMeraglim occurred, now we only are going to merit 7 nations. But we still have a chance to have the 3 nations for the future. How will that happen? So that's the merit of Yemos HaMashiach. The Im Yarchiv Hashem Olkeres Gvulcha, Pasuk in Devarim, Parsha Shoft, in Source 42. When you have expanded boundaries, and Hashem will give you, Es Kol Ha'oretz, Asher Dibe Lassis Rabosecha, you will have, you, Kal Yisrael, not Esav, not Ammon, not Moab, you, Kal Yisrael, will have all 10 lands. And that's going to come at a time that you're on a very high spiritual level. Ki Sishmor, Es Kol HaMitzvah Zos La'asusa, Asher Nochim Tzavacha Hayom, La'avas Hashem Olkecha, Lechis Bedrachat Ko Hayomim. And then there's another mitzvah connected with that, to set aside new Ari Miklat in the area that you'll have. The Ramban explains in the last source here that this is the idea that your merit will get to the point that Hashem knows that you're not going to sin anymore. It's a tremendous madrega that allows us to be able to be zoche in the entirety of the Bris Bin Absarim, including the lands of Ammon, Moab, and Seir. But again, until that time comes, we are restricted. That's our restriction. We can't, according to Ramban, it's a rav that continues midoraisa. The Ramban points out, so how can a rav in the Torah disappear? I mean, mitzvahs don't disappear. We're not going to be eating chazer, chaz v'shalom, when Mashiach comes, although people say the chazer become kosher, whatever that means. But how could there be an iser not to take these lands and then say that we're going to get the lands? What's the answer? So the Ramban addresses that. He says, we don't really know who's Ammon and Moab anymore. Things are totally mevulbal. Sancheirav changed everything. He created havoc. And therefore, the land becomes now part of the Melech HaMashiach, who takes the land and gives it to who he wants. And so it is in the Radak, a similar point. Everything gets mishmashed, and therefore we don't have a problem with taking the land anymore once Mashiach comes, but we still need the merit. We need the schus. So Hashem should bless us, like it says in Haftorah that we ended with yesterday, back in Source 41, Avadia talks about this idea as well, that the land of Seir will ultimately be there for all of us. And the Pasuk concludes, and the Haftorah concludes, Va'o Moshiim Behar Sion, Lishbot Es Har Esav, and the great day of the Haisa Lashem Hamarucha.
The only days we live in Edom are considered our father. Which guys in the list? it's not
but it ties it very well with this concept. It ties it very well with the concept that in Sayer is where the heavenly truth is connected to.